Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about, is holding cash or holding property safer? If you had $300,000 of cash in a bag or a $300,000 house free and clear, which one would you want? Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay, so Amy asked, at first I was excited to get a call back of interest for an offer I sent out for a piece of rural vacant land. Unfortunately, the offer was too high for this public housing area in the city located in the county that I targeted. Looking at the standard purchase agreement I sent that is open for another month, I can't seem to find a way out of honoring the purchase agreement if they sign it. So here's Amy's stipulations. One, buyer's confirmation of partial size.
Done, you're out.
Two.
Done. You're done.
Okay, do you want me to keep reading?
No, I mean, I do actually, but here's my point. And I don't mean to interrupt you, Joe, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Don't worry, Amy, because you confirmed the confirmation of the parcel size is not what you want.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jill.
Two, said property is to be sold free and clear of all encumbrances with a good and marketable title and with full possession of said property available to buyer at the date of closing.
And so number two, in your opinion, the marketable title condition of this property is unsatisfactory and therefore you're canceling the transaction. Go ahead.
Three, confirmation of buyer's acquisition criteria.
I'm sorry,
that's
seller.
The one right there.
I went through my due diligence on this property and it doesn't fill my criteria after all.
Right.
Number four,
seller to provide abstract or prior owner's policy if available.
Okay.
Five, seller to retain mineral rights at seller's request. How do I get out of it or am I on the hook to buy the property?
No.
Does anyone have any suggestions to add more contingencies to the purchase agreement to cover me better? No, you're fine.
Yeah, you're totally
fine.
I've
never even had to do this. You know what's funny?
I haven't.
And all the here's the reality, Amy. I think you're worrying about it and you don't need to. I've never, ever, 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 and I mean ever, had a seller come to me and say, oh, I went through your list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'm sure you have to buy this. No, they don't.
Sounds like there's a lawyer on the other end.
No, and they're not. And because, yeah, I can say, well, I'm not happy with 1 and I'm not happy with 3.
Yeah.
Like 3 is the bigger one. Here's what I would say. My acquisition criteria is that this property is affordable and in this range and what I could market up and sell it for. I mean, it doesn't meet that because obviously what you just said is, look, I sent out an offer that was accidentally too high. That's what you're saying here, Amy. And like, and it sounds like I have to do it.
No,
you don't. Because what you really want to, because it sounds like you would buy this property at a different price and that's what you'd come back with. If they say you need to buy this property, you might say, and I've done this a lot, Amy, look, I'm happy with this property at 1,000, not at the 3,000 that the letter says. Now that I looked at it and I got it on the map and everything like that, doesn't meet my criteria at 3,000, but it does at 1,000.
And who's to say what your acquisition criteria is anyway? I mean, the truth of it is, you could say, the reason that I send a lot of offers out to everybody who owns property with this criteria because I want to put up a self-storage facility. And it turns out this property is not conducive for that.
Right.
So have a good day.
Exactly. So yeah, don't worry, Amy. Outs are just fine.
Yeah, you have complete control. Mm-hmm. If you have a question or you'd like to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, would you rather hold a bag of cash or an equal valued property? Which one's safer? This is the meat of the show. What do you think, Jill? Want to have a bunch? It's so tempting, isn't it?
Right.
Let's say I'm going to paint a little picture.
Okay. Oh, good. Tell us a story. Story time with Jack today.
You're sitting on a park bench. It's a beautiful Saturday. And you have, and a genie pops up and you get a couple of wishes. Would you wish for a bag full of $300,000 of cash or the house of your dreams for $300,000 and it's paid for free and clear and that's it? And you got to go on Monday. You got to go up and go to work. Even though you don't have a mortgage anymore, you got to go to work. But the $300,000 cash, that's it. Which one would you do?
Those are my only choices?
Yeah. It's just a fun little exercise.
Kind of want the cash.
I would take the cash also.
Okay, good.
And here's why. Because you and I know how to buy a property for $150,000 that's worth $300,000.
Well, you know, I was going to say...
And that's my whole point here.
I can do more with it. I'll have a lot more options.
You have control and options. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And then at the end of the day, if the genie, if I had a third wish, or like if I could pick my own, I'd actually want... $150,000 property and $150,000.
Well, you can do
cash.
That with the cash.
Yeah.
That's what
too.
I mean. That's my whole point here. So that's also, true. You know, adding to that, you know, we know how to buy a $300,000 house for $150,000. Very predictable results in the number of units number of letters that we would submit in the mail. What I don't know how to do, and I would love to hear if you know how to do this, because we should talk if you can. Can you sell a $300,000 house for $450,000? No.
Yeah.
Nobody can. Real estate agents all day will tell you that they can.
I know.
Buying it for less is way easier than selling it for more. That's a chapter right there.
Right. I don't like that, too.
I don't either. I think it's
dishonest.
That's
the whole thing. They look for a cash buyer, and then, gee, by golly, the appraisal came in at exactly how much cash they have. Isn't that funny? I never like those situations. I don't think that's cool.
The truth is, and you'll talk to any accountant or any financial planner, more than an accountant, they would say, you should have a healthy balance of cash and you should own your property. You should have a healthy, very low loan to value, low LTV, as it says. I saw a license plate one time that said that, low LTV.
That's good. Hey, Dad, I want to ask a dad question.
Okay.
Dad, well, how else should I diversify my assets? Should I buy stocks? Dad, should I buy a timeshare?
Oh, jeez. Just push my buttons. It was two sentences of dad button pushing.
Wait. I want this fancy car. I'm going to buy it new, right off the drive it right off the lot.
Oh, jeez. You did it. You pushed all three. A car is not an investment. So we're not even going to talk about cars. That's silly.
Wait, what if it's a classic car?
If you're my age and with my balance sheet, knock yourself out.
Okay. Or your name is Jack, and you have curly hair and glasses. Those are the only conditions.
No, I'm not the only guy around that does this stuff. And people, it's a great business to renovate cars. You know, I've tried it and failed at it dismally. For people who can keep their emotions out of it, it's great. I'm not knocking that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the conventional wisdom is this, to answer your question. There's super conservative liquid asset buckets. It's all buckets driven, right? You have a bucket of liquid assets. You have a bucket of what's called play money. And that's what the stock market should be for, where you should set yourself up and look in the mirror and say, if all this bucket of play money is gone tomorrow, I don't care, because I've got another bucket over here that's super conservative assets. Maybe they're like real estate or tax-free municipal bonds or whatever. And then in this bucket over here is just cash in the bank or gold in a closet or whatever version of that is for you. So it all comes down to buckets and individual preference. So... I mean, we've made a career out of flipping real estate, Jill. So I'm breaking my own rules here, but we know how to do it so well that is our play money and that is our conservative money.
It's true.
And when there's money we don't tap in ever for any reason.
It's true. We've talked about this before, and we've shared this with our members that, hey, if you need cash right now, we all know how to cut. You could cut some of your prices and get it out there and sell some property and get some cash really fast if you had to.
Yeah.
And that's not crazy. Oh, gee, maybe I only made 75% profit, not 110% profit. I'm still doing just fine.
Exactly,
Jill. You had to do that really quick because you need some cash.
And those are the conversations you should have with yourself. I have that no matter where you are in their career. I have that type of conversation with myself all the time. Hey, am I going to do this deal? If it all goes sideways, and the worst thing happens, are you going to be okay? Yeah. Oh, then I'll do the deal.
Exactly. That's a good way to think. That's a good thing to think about now. No matter where you are, when you go into these deals, think like that.
It's all about control and controlling the investment and controlling the decision making and all of that. So if you buy a house off the MLS from a real estate agent and you go rent it out to somebody and then the renter moves in, I mean, how much control do you have if you have a mortgage on it and all that? You have to pray every morning that the person's going to pay their mortgage and that the economy's not going to crash. You don't want to ever put yourself in that position, in my opinion, speaking as your father, because you brought it up. I like Aunt Jill better.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome.
So it's all about control. And I know psychologists and psychiatrists out there are cringing right now because they all think control is horrible. When it comes to financial stuff, no, man, control's the best. You don't want to just hope for the best.
Swing hard
and hope for the best.
No, like, that's not how you should do life.
That's how I golf.
That's how I got married. Swing hard. Just kidding.
For a bunch of reasons, you do not want to swing hard in a marriage. You can hope for the best, but leave the swinging out.
Oh, no. All right. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? $300,000 worth of cash on a park bench sounds pretty darn good.
Well, okay. And when should you ever stop, Jack? Is there a point that you think that one of them, there's enough is enough?
Yes.
Or is that for Millionaire Week?
That is in Millionaire Week, okay. Which is coming up 2 weeks from now. Yeah, this is in my book too. You know, you have to. It's very, very unhealthy. Even really wealthy people will tell you that they've made this mistake. That they all, and I say this too. Boy, I should have stopped at X. Like a gambler, you know. Boy, I was this far up and I should have stopped. So the way to do that, and even if you're a gambler, the way to do it is to say, I'm starting with $2,000 at this blackjack table. If it becomes $4,000, I am out. I do not care what the circumstances are. Right. Or if I'm starting with 2,000 and it becomes 1,000, I am out. But most people don't have enough discipline. It's the same thing with really wealthy people. You have to set parameters for yourself. There's a number, you know, and we've actually passed it. But Land Academy and the podcast and all that stuff is fun.
Keeps it a secret. Doesn't tell me that. And this is like.
I will tell you, two years ago.
Don't tell Jill. That's really how it goes.
Jill, you know everything. Trust me.
All right.
The way that I do it is I say this. All right. I'm going to answer it with a mathematical equation. There's a number, all right, of liquid assets that generate money for you. They generate operational income. Let's say they generate. If you have $1 million asset and it generates 10% every year. And let's say it's a house. Let's say you have $1 million house and it generates 10%, $100,000 a year, right? Mm-hmm. Which is about $9,000 a month-ish. That's very unrealistic because that's crazy rent. But anyway, let's say that some investment vehicle for $1 million generates 10%. And land investing and all that is not unrealistic at all. In fact, it's incredibly low. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say that you have a collection of assets that are, I don't know, $20 million and it generates 10% a year. Mm-hmm. That's $2 million a year. Divided by 12, it's like $250,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Do you think you can live on that?
It's going to be tight. Just kidding.
It's not $250,000. It's a little less than that. But
no, but yeah.
After tax and all that stuff. No. Let's just say it's $100,000. So all I'm saying is $20 million is not the magic number or whatever the management number is. Just have a magic number.
Yeah.
And then after that, whatever that money that's thrown off in the interest and investment vehicle, that's your play money. Go horse around with that. Mm-hmm. You're crazy. I mean, there's people that are out there that are billionaires. And I think there's now that crosses into a psychological area where okay, let's say you have $20 million or whatever the number ends up being and it's generating and you're happily going along, making $150,000 a month after tax. Should you be trying to make more money? That's a question you're going to have to ask yourself.
Right.
I think there's like that. Now it's approaching there's a personality issue.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, the reality is.
Should you start a podcast or something like Land Academy and help other people do it?
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
That's what works for us. I joke about it, but no, we live way below our means. Yep. And I like that. I don't want to be that person. I was thinking about the other day, my car is a
I know
12-year-old 12-year-old car, almost 13-year-old car, and I'm really happy with that. All my friends' cars are newer than my car. I don't care. You know, doesn't my, we got in the car, my friend goes, you have cassette? Yes. And I have a DVD too.
A DVD?
I have, that's not cool. DVD, excuse me, CD. I have DVD. Just, oh, not that fancy.
You know what's in my car?
I still have a cassette deck. I know.
An AM radio.
Yes, yours is, but yours is a little bit different. Yours is a 1970 car. Mine's at least above 2000. So yeah, anyway.
Both of those cars are going up in value, literally. Not down.
That's cool. That's
those good. Are the kinds of games I like to play at this point.
I know. I think we did a good job. I hope we did a good job answering this question.
So cash or property, here's the real answer. It's whatever thing or ever asset, any type of asset, where do you have the most control based on whatever you do for a living or your area of expertise. For us, we could make both work. But Jill's right. Take the $300,000 cash and go buy spend $150,000 to buy a $300,000 house. Mm-hmm. Now you got that, and now you're on your way to building equity. And that's my point.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. That was awesome.
Join us in the next episode where we discuss how to become the Batman of investing.
Oh,
I wrote that show.
Oh, it's awesome. And we answer Angela's question about getting started in the land business.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. A good show, Joe.
Yeah. That was good. Thank you for it. It's important to talk about these big... We had a few big topics recently about big picture stuff, being debt-free, and I... You know what? For me, it's painting a picture, and when you paint a picture and you have a plan and you see what's out there, you can visualize being there, and that's how you get there.
You know, we get so much... The show's gotten pretty big. We get so much mail now. On a daily basis, I either get like one email that says, duh, Captain Obvious,
right.
Do you think, really? Like right. Sarcastic like that. Mm-hmm. Or I get like heartfelt thank yous like, man, I wish somebody would have told me that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And both are funny.
I love it. They seem
once in a while I get one that says, you should really, hey, moron, just zip it up.
You should have stopped at show 200.
Yeah. I get it. I get it. You guys have a good relationship. Stop flunking.
Whatever.
Something like that.
You're making me look bad in my marriage.
No, yeah, <I'm> just exactly.
Love it.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.